If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
Okay, Sam says he saw an example of poor parenting on the metro yesterday. I'm so curious to know what he considers poor parenting.
It was a poor parenting choice, I should preface. I'm on the metro and I see what appears to be a 9 or 10 year old boy wearing a winter toque, which is nothing wrong. But then I look at the toque and I notice that it is a Pabst Blue Ribbon toque, like one of those beer labeled toques.
That you like get free in a box of beer.
I would assume so, yeah. And my first thought was, that's an interesting choice for as a garment. I mean, of all the toques to be wearing as a kid or to put on your kid, to have one that's, you know, beer induced or that's, you know, promoting beer, it was just jarring. I thought to myself, that's kind of like a poor choice because it's garnering a lot of unwanted attention. People are looking at the hat like, why is this kid wearing a beer hat? He's 9 years old. You're sending the wrong message to him.
I don't know if it was garnering a lot of attention.
Yeah,
well,
it garnered my attention.
Noticed.
Were a lot of people looking at the hat?
I don't know. I was too focused on the hat.
Okay, first, two things come to mind. Number one, maybe he just looks really young. You don't know for sure how old this kid is.
I'm telling you, he was under the age of 11. That's
Number
for sure.
Two, you do have to consider that money doesn't grow on trees. And a lot of people struggle, too. And so if you have the opportunity to get a free... I mean, I remember it was heartbreaking, but I went to school when I was younger with the kids who wore, like, socks on their hands.
Yeah.
Because, like, times are tough for a lot of people. So if you get a free hat, that's perfectly fine. Why are you going to go out and spend money on it?
Or instead of buying the case of beer, you just buy the hat instead. I mean, you could have...
Well, you don't know where he got it.
Okay, assuming that it wasn't that isn't the case. I mean, do you put like would you put like a cigarette shirt on a kid? I mean, it's sort of the same
thing. You're saying like if you had the money to buy your child whatever they wanted, would you allow them to wear a beer logo? I don't know.
I mean, like I remember when I was a kid and I played baseball. You know, I was playing little leagues and stuff like that. We had sponsors on our shirts, and one of my teams was sponsored by Labatt. I guess one of the parents on the team worked for Labatt and they got money for the team. So our jerseys had a beer logo on it. I didn't think anything of it when I was a kid. It was just part of the uniform.
Yeah, it doesn't bring up any emotion in me. Honestly, I'm like, what's the big deal? I don't see the big deal. If the kid's not drinking beer, like, you know, ideally, you don't have a 10-year-old drinking beer. But, I mean, like, a logo on a hat, like, what is the big deal? Like, are you going to get into, like, where clothing is made and what you're supporting when you buy certain brand names, too, and put them on your kids?
I don't know. It's very blatant. And, I mean, if you're, like, at recess or whatever and kids are asking you about the hat, like, oh, what's Pabst? And you have to explain to them that it's a beer. And I mean, I just don't think it's an appropriate age to be wearing merchandise that's promoting.
You're probably thinking a bit too far into it. Like, I'm going to assume no 10-year-old is going up and saying, like, what does your hat mean? They're just like, okay, put on your hat. Let's go run and play.
Right.
You know,
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't. As a 10-year-old, I don't think I would notice that. That'd be the last thing I would notice.
I'm the proud owner of a lot of beer hats. I would just never put it on a kid. That's the only thing I would wait till they're 18.
Well, we'll see. Wait till you have a kid.
Yeah. Well, you will have that choice when you have a child, and I'll be sure to get you lots of brand named beer brands to
I'll get you a bunch of Camel cigarette stuff. You can wear that.
Perfect.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
I got to speak yesterday at Rosemount High School. And one of the students asked a question that I thought I would have a quick and simple and upfront answer to. And it was actually more complicated to answer than I thought. And I want to know what you think about that. Yeah. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. So first of all, shout out to everybody at Rosemount High School. It was so much fun. You know, it's such a great school. And when you walk into a high school, there's just this like new energy that you can feel. Like it's the energy of the future. And also right now, an amazing generation who isn't really afraid to question the status quo, you know, which I really love. And the entire staff was amazing. Wanted to give a shout out to Mr. LaRoche. I hope that I'm saying that properly. And Mr. Gagliardi as well. He was a principal. Just really amazing people who like really care about the kids. Got to meet a lot of the staff as well. One teacher named Vanessa. It was just, my heart was full yesterday. It felt amazing. And as we're speaking to these kids, they're asking questions as we go on. And a boy raised, or like, I don't want to say, he's not a kid, but like a young adult, a student, raised his hand. Yeah. And he had a question. And he said his parents sacrificed a lot so that they can make a really good living for him and for his family. But he doesn't really want to do what they are encouraging him to do when it comes to like a life path and a career after high school. So he was basically asking, like, is money the most important thing? Should I follow what I'm really passionate about? Or should I make sure that I am building a secure and comfortable future for myself and for my future children's life, you know? And I thought that my instinct, I thought that my answer would be like, no, you follow your passion. That's it. Of course, you do what you want to do. That's what you have to do. But then before I gave him that advice, I was kind of thinking, you know, money does play a role too. And he came from parents who, I mean, I'm assuming struggled at one point in their life, and they saw how it can be when you're going from struggling to having that sort of like financial security. And I kind of found myself saying to him like that there's not really a perfect answer to that.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think, you know, if we're going to be honest, let's not beat around the bush. Money does play a factor, especially if you want to have a family, if you want to, you know, have a wife that you want to help raise a family with. Let's say you have two kids. If you want to be a ventriloquist, you know, you have to have go into it with the understanding that there's a really high probability that you're not going to make a lot of money, right? So if you want to be a ventriloquist and have a family, you might have to have a second job. You can't just, you know, lie to yourself and say, well, if I'm just passionate about whatever I do, then I'm just going to make a lot of money. That's not always the case. That's just real world reality.
But is not making a lot of money the end of the world?
No,
are you
it's not.
If you're not making a lot of money, are you necessarily more unhappy than people are going who are going to a job that they hate every day?
Absolutely not. There's a big, you know, I think I could not do a job that I hate and be happy doing it for a long period of time. We're really fortunate that we have a really fun job. Let's be honest. Our job is fun. It's really not that hard in comparison to a lot of jobs. And we like coming in every day. That's a big thing for life.
Sam, what do you think?
It's tough to convince a kid, a teen, a high school student, the importance of money at that age. I think you just need to let them indulge themselves in whatever makes their clock tick, and the money will follow. A lot of this stuff you have to figure out as you go. I mean, you don't want your child to be naive either. I mean, when I was in high school, I was just convinced I was going to be a Hollywood star, and that was it, and there was nothing that was going to get in the way.
Hey, there's still time.
I'm aging pretty gracefully. I couldn't have done it without the support of my parents, and they just wholeheartedly, even though they knew that I was going to run into obstacles and it wasn't going to be easy, they let me struggle, and that struggle is what it, you know, eventually just kind of makes you who you are. But a lot of stuff you got to figure out for yourself.
Kim Kieran, what do you say to your 8-year-old daughter? Pick up your stuff. She's too young for that kind of stuff. What will you say?
It's all about balance. The key is balance and life choices. The choices you make now will affect your future,
right?
And in turn, your happiness, your job, and all of that. So it's.
You said she's only 8, but she knows what she wants to be. She wants to be a YouTube star.
Right? Of course.
She's got to figure it out.
We're working on that life goal.
True.
My gut just wanted to say, go follow your passion, do what you want so that you're happy. And then I'm reminded, you know, growing up, my mom didn't have a lot at all. She struggled financially and it was hard. It was tough to watch. You wouldn't really want to see anybody sort of set themselves up for that.
Yeah.
No, the world is very competitive and you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot. You want to give yourself every advantage possible. So you want to take advantage of your education. You don't want to take shortcuts. You want to make sure that you get your education. You soak in as much as you can to be able to put yourself at the best position possible when you do hit the workforce.
You know, I was thinking it's still very different as well when it comes to boys and girls or men and women, you know, because I bet you young boys at that age feel more pressure than girls, because boys are like, listen, you're going to have a family that you need to care for. You're going to have a family you need to provide for.
Yeah.
And then women are still sort of being raised and taught that you shouldn't be going after money and that there's something wrong with you if you are looking forward to money and you're speaking up for what you think you deserve to earn, you know. So it's still very different. I mean, it has changed a lot, but there's still a disconnect there for sure. Lisa, curious to know what you think.
Oh, I love what you're talking about. It's something I've thought about for the past 5 years of my life.
Right. And what would you tell? How would you have answered that question?
I think you need to find balance. I think that money is equally important, but happiness is almost more important, but they have to come hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Some friends that, you know, they sort of settled with a salary job after high school or after university, and I think that they struggle with happiness, and I think that I'm proud of my choice. It took a lot of courage, but I'm proud of the choice I made.
So you followed your passion.
I did.
Right.
I did.
And you had to make sacrifices financially to do that?
I did, at first especially.
Do you have kids, Lisa?
I don't have kids. I'm 30, no kids yet, but in the near future.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Somebody said, and I actually said this yesterday while I was speaking at Rosemount as well, we don't always have to make money from our passions. So, you know, there are a lot of really happy people who have their jobs mm-hmm. and then they have something that they do in the evenings yeah. or on the weekends that like lights them up, and that's great.
Absolutely. Passion on the side.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. For sure. I mean, like me and my music career. Same thing.
Wait, what?
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So I want you to think back to when you actually asked someone out face-to-face. If you're like me, you had to go really far back. And not because I've been with my wife for a while, but because no one does it anymore. But is that a problem? Good morning, it's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. So Nikki and I actually both saw this come up yesterday on The View. And it was pretty cool. They were talking about a Boston College philosophy professor who tasked her students with something called the dating assignment. And the rules were pretty simple. You have to ask someone out in person. You can't wait. You have to wait within 3 days. Pick someone that catches your eye. Be open and honest. Don't leave them waiting. Give yourself a hard out if you don't find yourself wanting more. The date can only be 45 to 90 minutes long. Make a plan and make it clear. And if you're the person with the money, then, you know, you're the one that's going to pay.
If you're the person who asked them out, you're the one who is going to pay.
Yeah. But the date can only be $10. It's not going to be some sort of super extravagant date. Only $10, something simple. How far is too far? Well, a hug is the limit. No kissing, no making out, nothing like that. And then after the date, tell three people about it.
So none of those rules freak me out. The only thing that freaks me out is the whole thing, is asking someone out face-to-face.
Well, of course.
Asking someone out face-to-face. And that was kind of her point with this assignment, right? She's saying, you know, everybody's on their phones. They're using all of these different apps. And I want you to go through the process of finding someone who you actually have feelings for, too. Because it would be easy if you just, like, did it for a friend.
Like a friend, yeah. It's like, hey, it's a project.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a solid.
But somebody who you actually think you could have a romantic future with, or would like to get to know more in a romantic way, and ask them out face to face, and it makes my stomach flip. I can't lie.
Well, she said her students all got anxiety over it because it's like they didn't know what to do. Like, how do we do this? Where do we start?
It's so weird because I'm confident in other ways. You know, I can stand up on stage and speak. I can speak on our show every morning. Like, I'm not easily freaked out by people, but as soon as it becomes like that kind of thing, like in a romantic way, I turn into a complete and utter weirdo. Sam, I'm sure you've seen it happen before.
Many times, yes. But this is so important. I mean, as part of growing up, it's like the bandaid you have to rip off. You have to know what it feels like to throw yourself out there, to face rejection. And if you're someone who's romantic, like I like to consider myself.
Oh yeah, your girlfriend would say otherwise.
Well, I mean, like you don't want to leave any stone unturned, you know? So we're so afraid of being said no to. But you know, especially in this day and age, we neglect the fact that a lot of people just are willing to say yes if you take that risk. And so that's, you have to take that leap, right?
You're not wrong. I was at Rosemount High School yesterday, and the biggest thing that I was sort of talking to these kids about was like, stop being scared of everything. You know, like take a risk. You're going to fail sometimes. You're going to be rejected sometimes. You're going to fall flat on your face sometimes. But more and more you'll see once you start doing these things that you look behind yourself and you're like, hey, look, I didn't die. Like, I'm still alive. I got through that, right?
You know, the fear of rejection can be crippling. The first girl I ever asked out, I didn't actually ask her out. I got a friend to ask her out for me. I was, and that's
on
what
a
it comes. Well, I got rejected, by the way. So I was fearful ever since. But you know, that's the thing with things like Tinder. If somebody says no, you just swipe to the next person. Right. It's that simple.
You don't have to grieve.
Very different for women. I know things are changing a bit, but like traditionally, it wasn't women asking men out. You know, so I think that plays a role too in the way that I think about it. Maybe
I would have loved for a woman to ask me out. Growing up, if it seemed like all the onus was on the guys.
Well, message to women out there, guys love it when they're asked out.
I wouldn't have asked you out.
Okay. We could have done without that.
I'm kidding. The producer said that was mean. I'm sorry.
It's funny though. It's good.
Rob didn't like that.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.